Wednesday the 30th of May, Rabbi Ali Melech Kornfeld, the relevance of Shemitah year to the UK.
Shalom Aleichem. I haven't been in the UK many years, and whenever I tell that to somebody, they say, oh, it's a different London than it used to be. Baruch Hashem. It's a truth for me to take part in a different London. The truth is, if you come to Eretz Yisrael and Shemitah, everyone will tell you the same thing. It's a different Shemitah than it used to be. Many years ago, Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael was something that was kidmat not kept. They were tortured for different reasons. And Baruch Hashem, every Shemitah, more and more farmers and more people are having Shemitah the way we should, which is a very big foot for Klal Yisrael. As we know, we saw a few weeks ago the Parasha, it says that the Golus was because we didn't keep Shemitah, and the fact that we keep Shemitah more so is helps bring back the Geula. So you want to know what does that have to do with us over here in the UK? I'll try to say a little background information about the mitzvah of Shemitah in Halacha, and then we'll see that there are certain things that even against us over here. Shemitah is called Shabbos Ha'oretz in the Torah. We have a Shabbos Bereishis, that is, once a week we have a Shabbos, and we have once every 7 years we have a Shabbos Ha'oretz. Both of them have Isurim of Loisaseis and Mitzvaseis. On Shabbos we have a Loisasei, Loisasekol Malacha, which includes the Lamites Malachas, and we have also Mitzvah of Shabbos also, but Yom HaShvi'i Tishrei, it's also Mitzvah Tasei on Shabbos. Whoever's showing the Shabbos, he's best in the time to the thing. Both, he's not being able to light the same as the time of Mitzvah Tasei. Similar to that, in Shemitah, we also have both of these elements. We have Lo Tasei, not like in Shabbos, it's a Lama Tasei Malachas. In the Beraita, we ask him that in Shemitah, there's only four Malachas. It says, Tothel Tizra, Kamach Tizma, which means you should not plant your field. Planting is a rochad and deraita and shmita. Today it's the rabbanon, but when it was deraita, it was deraita. The zmira, which is pruning, is also deraita. And there's different forms of harvesting, which are also deraita, also ultimate deraita and shmita. There are many other things which are beneficial for grown things, which are not necessarily also deraita. For example, watering something, plant on shmita, is also, but it's only also rabbanon. Plowing also happens to be also the right. Now, together with that, it says that the Shavta Oretz Shabbos Lashem. So, similar to like in Shabbos, we have a Loisasei Naetzei. So, too on Shemitah, we have the Loisasei of Leitizra Leitizma, and we have the Mitzvah Tasei of Shavta Oretz Shabbos Lashem. Now, by Shabbos, both the Etzei and the Loisasei are really the same thing. If you're not being Malachit, you're not being over the Loisasei, and you're being the time of the Etzei. It's all one issue. The Isser of doing malachas on Shabbos is Isser on the person. A person is now doing malachas. If I have somebody else doing malachas for me on Shabbos, I'm not being over an Isser deraita. For example, even the issue of asking a goy to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. It's also to ask a goy to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, but I'm not being over Isser deraita. There's no Isser skilo, not even malchus. It's Isser derabanan not to have a goy to do a malacha for us on Shabbos. Kamuvan, Yisra Drabon is a serious thing. We can't just have to go to the Malachas for us on Shabbos. So it's only Yisra Drabon. Why? Because the Gedda, the way the Torah said that Yisra on Shabbos is Lois Asa Kol Malachas, do not do any work. And the flip side of don't do any work is Tishbois. It's by not doing work, by you not doing any work, then you're being Shabbos, you're resting. On Shemitah, it's not so clear that it's the same thing. There's a Gemara Avodah Zarah that discusses one of the Halachas in Hilchos Shabbos, which is a little bit different than the standard halacha of Hilchos Shabbos. What do I mean to say? That on Shabbos, as I said before, the malachas, there's no issue for my kelim not to do malachas, or my fields not to do malachas on Shabbos. I, personally, I'm not allowed to do a malacha. For example, if I have a watering system for my garden or my field, I'm allowed to set it up before Shabbos, and it'll work throughout Shabbos. I, malacha is being done with my possessions on Shabbos, or even the way we pass it, even if you light a Shabbos candle, so a fire is burning, you put a pot on the fire before Shabbos, and the food isn't cooked before Shabbos, even though the food is cooking on Shabbos, so as long as I'm not doing the maaser, I'm not doing the act of malach on Shabbos, we don't care that that malach is being done with my possessions on Shabbos. That goes for most of my possessions. My tailor, my property, there's no issue for malach to be done with my property on Shabbos. There is an exception to the rule, which is Shvitas Behemtah. There's a din on Shabbos that I'm not doing malacha, I'm also not allowed to have my animal do malacha. An animal of a Jewish person is now doing malacha on Shabbos. L'mad yanuach, shorach v'chamarech, that says in the Torah. What's the nafkimina? Nafkimina is like this. We said before, if I ask a goy to turn on the light on Shabbos, I'm being over Issa. But some way says, Rabbanim, is it right that as long as I did not do the act, it's alright? Whereas, if a goy, I rent out my animal to a goy, and the goy uses my animal on Shabbos, and I'm going to get wages for the fact that he's using my animal, so it's coming out that my animal is working in the fashion that I'm getting some benefit out of it. Even though I'm not doing any malach with my animal. It's not that I'm playing with my animal. I'm not touching the animal. The guy is doing everything with the animal and not doing anything with it. Even so, it's a deraisa of shvitah. That's the hemta. After the kach, there's halacha that one is not allowed to rent out his animal to a guy or even sell a certain type of animal to a guy because we're concerned they're going to do malacha. There's certain hetayim, if you make a condition in advance that the guy should not do any malacha with his animal, then there are hetayim. But it says that if he sees that the guy is not listening to him and the guy is working with his animal on Shabbos, so the halacha is that the person has to be masker his animal. He has to relinquish ownership on his animal because, once again, as long as it's his animal and he's working with his animal on Shabbos, anybody's working with his animal on Shabbos, he's being over an issa. That's the chiddush we find by Shvitas Behemta. You can ask me, so how's the animal allowed to eat from the ground on Shabbos? He's over an issa of kaita. If you buy the food off the tree on Shabbos, you're over an issa of kaita on Shabbos. That is a special drasha, l'man yanuach. That the gather of the issa of my animal working on Shabbos is, my animal has to have a day of vacation. He shouldn't work hard. But if he's eating for his pleasure, that's part of his nayach, that's part of his way of resting. Kamaban for us, a Jewish person, when he's resting on Shabbos, he can't pick a food off the tree to have him work a shemaka Shabbos meal. But for an animal, it's acceptable. On Shemitah, there's a discussion. How do we relate to when somebody else does malacha with my field on Shabbos and on Shemitah? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is discussing this issue of Shemitah's behemta on Shabbos. I have my animal, which is supposed to be not working on Shabbos. The question is, am I allowed to sell a female cow to a goy? What's the room for discussion? The room for discussion is like this. An ox is something that the goy uses for plowing, for doing malacha. A female generally was not used for doing malacha. It can be used for doing malacha. Do we say, well, since there's a good chance that he's going to be using this not for malacha, just to shaft it and eat it, so I'm not going to be over the issa, shvitas and behemta, so therefore may be permitted. Now, when I have a situation where I'm giving over my animal to the guy in a fashion that we can be totally, we can say that there's a good chance he will not do an issa with my animal, do we rely on that? Or do we say no? Since there is even a small chance he may be over an issa with my animal, and I'm allowed to give it to the guy. So the Gemara wants to compare this to halachas of Shemitah. So the Gemara gives various examples on Shemitah. It says that one is allowed to sell an animal to a person who we know he's not going to keep with Shemitah on Shemitah. So just like over there, the Gemara wants to say that we say that it must be that we assume that this cow is not going to do a malacha on Shemitah. So to on Shabbos, we're allowed to sell this animal to a goy, even though he's going to use it, even though he's going to have it on Shabbos, because we're going to assume that he's not going to use it for malachas on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, there's a difference between the two. Ein oda mitzuva al shvitas behemtoi tishviyas. But a person is mitzuva al shvitas behemtoi on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah. On Shabbos we have a special voice to say of not having my animals in malachas. On Shvitas, it's an issue that I shouldn't work my land. It's not an issue that my animals should do in malachas. The Gemara afterwards brings another proof. The Gemara brings a proof from, it says that a person is allowed to sell a field to a goy, or to a person who is choshed on Shemitah. It says that the field says that one is allowed to sell a field also to somebody who will not keep Shemitah on Shemitah. Why? It's a fallow field. The Gemara has to say, because we say that even though he potentially can use his field, but we're also told that he may not plant the field, he may leave it fallow, so therefore I'm not putting him in a situation which I know for sure that he'll do an issa with my field. And the Gemara says on this, that over here, Adam is mitzuvah al shvita sadeh al shvita. That a person, even though a person is not commanded to make sure his animal doesn't work on shmita, but he is commanded to make sure his field does not work on shmita. So the simple understanding of Gemara is, the Gemara is comparing the shvita of my field on shmita to the shvita of my animal on Shabbat. That's a simple way, a simple chant. The Gemara, Rashi says that the Seyish, the Ritva says, it's a very Kishayim Seyish. So if we make the equation, it comes out of very big Kiddush. Even though we said before that Malachas on Shabbos, all the Imam says Malachas is it for me. If somebody else has a Malacha for me, but I physically with my body am not doing the Malacha, then I'm not being over in Issa. The right, also to Rabbanim, the right to not being over in Issa. By my animal, that's the only exception to the rule, that if my animal is working on Shabbos, then I am over in Issa. So there's a special post in the Torah that says my animals now will work on Shabbos. Now the Gemara seems to be comparing Shvitas the day one Shvitas to Shvitas behemt on Shabbos, which, if we make that equation, should come out that just like it's also for my animal to work on Shabbos, even though I personally am not working with it, a guy is working with it. Even so, I have to make sure that my animal is not working on Shabbos. The same thing applies to Shvitas the day of Shvitas. Then Shemitah, I have to make sure nobody's working my land on Shemitah, according to the simple understanding of Gemara. So according to this comes to a very big chiddush. I'm sitting over here, for example, here in the UK, and I have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, and I have a garden over there in front of the apartment, and I'm not doing anything. But I have a garden over there, which was set up, that's going to take care of my garden. According to the way we're saying now, so I'm not going to be over in Issa Deraisa of Sotzal like Tizra, of planting my field, or taking care of my field, because that's the Issa on the person. But on the other hand, if there's a mitzvah that say, that we're saying that the simple understanding of this Gemara is, that says, now in Shemitah we have a din of Shavta or it, that you have to make sure that your field or your property is not involved in malachas of planting and growing things, it would come out, according to that, that I've been over this Issa of Shavta or it by having or letting somebody else work on my property, even though I myself am not working on it. We'll get to the practical happiness of those in a few minutes. That is the way these Rishonim seem to learn. The Minchas Chinuch understands Poshut that that's a shot in this mitzvah of saying Shemitah, that not only is it also for me to do malachas, but I have to make sure no malachas are done in my field. It's interesting that if we compare completely, totally, to the concept of Shemitah's Behemta on Shabbos, it would come out like this. On Shabbos, I have to make sure my animal doesn't work. What happens if my neighbor has an animal? Do I have a mitzvah to make sure my neighbor's animal doesn't work? Like a Kol Yisrael, a Raven Zelazet, that's for sure, but it's not my personal mitzvah. It's his mitzvah. Each person has a mitzvah. He has to make sure he doesn't do malachas. He has to make sure that his animal doesn't do malachas. He doesn't have any specific mitzvah upon him to make sure that his neighbor's animal is not doing malachas. Now the question is that the same thing on Shemitah or not? So the way the Minchas Chinuch learns that he compares it completely to Shvitas Behemta, and he says that just like on Shabbos I have to make sure that I'm not doing a malacha, and I have to make sure my animal's not doing a malacha, so on Shemitah I have to make sure that I'm not working my land, and I have to make sure that nobody else is working my land, but everybody else's field I'm not responsible for at all. It's nothing to do with me. That's the way he learns. But there are certain Paiskim, Nissen Karelis and some other Paiskim that say that it's not so pushy, that's the shot. If we are going to take on this side of the coin to say that on Shemitah, it's not only a mitzvah on myself not to do malachas, I have to make sure my field is not doing malachas, it's not so clear that it's limited to my field. Why not? Because there's differences. For example, on Shemitah, there's an issur for me to plant. It's an issur for me to plant. Now, my issur of planting is lobbed up on my field. Any mokum that has kedushas there to throw, if I go to that place, I go to my neighbor's house and I plant in my neighbor's house, then I'm also being over an issa of planting. Because the issa is, for me, is to plant in any part of Eretz Yisrael that has kedusha. There's no limitation and no difference between my field and somebody else's field. So he wants to say, based on this, he wants to be mitzvah from certain Rishayim, there's room to say tremendous kiddush, that not only am I not allowed to go out of my way and plant in any field that has kedusha, but also the flip side of the coin, that I have to try to make sure that I will not be a cause of malachas to be done on any part of Eretz Yisrael, it's also not limited to my field. Kamuvan, if it's out of my control, I have no responsibility for things that are out of my control. If it's a situation which is under my control, I could prevent somebody from from, or I could cause somebody to work on his land, and I cause somebody else to work on his land, I can be over the issa daraisa of making sure or doing what I can to make sure that the land won't be worked in Shemitah. I finish. Anyway, so these are the three ways of understanding Shemitah. Either some Rishonim seem to hold that it's only a itzer on myself. I should not do malachas. If somebody else works my land, it's like on Shabbos. It's as long as I didn't send him, it's nothing to do with me. I have no responsibility of other people working my property. That's one way. Chazanish learns, that's the way the Rambam learns, the Taisis learns. The second way we learned is the way Mitzchatzchinach learned, and the Rashi, the Ritva, Taisis Rid, is that it's not only itzer upon myself to make sure that I don't do malachas, but I also have to make sure that other people don't do malachas on my field. That is the second level. As long as I know that somebody else is doing malachas on my field, I have to make sure that he doesn't do it. And the third way of understanding is even broader, that I should not be the cause of anybody doing malachas on any field in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the three ways of understanding this mitzvah tasei, which Bezman of Beit HaMikdash was the right, and after Rabbanan of Shofta Oretz Shabbat Hashem. There's one big problem. If we're saying that there's a mitzvah only on myself, not to the malachas, it's one thing. But if we're saying now this chiddush, that I have to make sure that there's no malacha being done. So the Mitzvah takes this to the extreme, and he says, what happens if you plant something a week before Shemitah? Now, we paskin that if you take a sapling, you put it into the ground, it takes it 2 weeks to take root. So it's technically planted 2 weeks later. So I did the action, the mitzvah of the malacha, I did it a week before Shemitah. It took root on Shemitah. Is that considered that I planted on Shemitah? On Shabbos for sure. You did, whenever you did the malachi, you did the malachi. You did it on Shabbos, you did it on Shabbos. You did it on Friday, you did it on Friday. Minchatina says, no. Over here, since I have to make sure that my land is not doing any malachis, so by planting a week before Shemitah, I'm causing my land to do malachis. My land is in a situation of having something take root. So tremendous case with Minchatina says.
I can do it a week before the next year, sure.
Huh?
I mean, I could do it a week before the end of
Shmita,
because it already happened.
That's, it could be Mitzad Shavsa, or maybe you won't have an Issa. So Mitzad the Issa, it could be Mitzad the Leitha say of, like Tizra, like Tizra was said, don't do this act anytime of Shmita, just like in Shabbos, you know, I plant on Shabbos, even though it's going to take roots after Shabbos. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But, now the problem is, there's a lot of questions on this Mahalo. If we're saying that I have to make sure that not only that I don't do malacha, that nobody else does malacha, and not even that a malacha doesn't happen by itself on my field on Shemitah, so first of all, if we take it to this extreme, which the Chazanish is higher, so I should have to uproot all my trees before Shemitah, because my trees are going to continue producing fruit on Shemitah. Now we know there's no mitzvah. Even if we say that's different, it was already planted a long time beforehand, but there's many, many rayas, that even though on Shabbos we have a rule of, there's a concept called Eivin Miskaven. If I do a malacha on Shabbos, I don't intentionally do the malacha. If I drag something on the floor and it happens to make a furrow in the ground, so if it's not definitely going to make a furrow in the ground, then it's permitted on Shabbos. It's Eivin Miskaven. I did not intend to, my primary intention is to drag this thing. It happens to be that when I drag, I may cause a malacha. I don't have to be concerned of what may come out, a secondary malacha that may come out. But if it's a concept of a stick ratio, which means I know for sure I'm dragging a bench on very soft ground, and I know for sure that by dragging this, it will make a furrow in the ground. Then it's also. The stick ratio means a child wants to play with the head of a chicken. So I need to find the head for my head of a chicken for, they didn't have plastic ones in those days. So I want to find a head of a chicken for my child to play with. He doesn't want to play with the whole chicken. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to cut off the head of a chicken. I don't want to kill the chicken. I just want to have a head of a chicken for my child to play with. That's called the psikresha. We can't say, oh, my kavod is not to kill it. If I know for sure I'm going to kill it, it's that's the way it goes in Hizal Shabbos. We don't go only by your intentions. If you have intentions to do something mutter, but for sure you're going to be adult and you can do something mutter together with it, that is usher on Shabbos. That's in Shabbos. On Shemitah, there are many, many shirayas that such a thing is permitted, that if my primary intention is not to work the land, but for sure it will be type of working the land permitted. For example, there's a Mishnah that says, together with the Gemara, that a person, is one of the malachas you're not supposed to do on Shemitah is that the stones in the land, you shouldn't remove the stones, because before you plant something, you remove the stones. It says, what happens if I take up stones from my friend's field because I just want the stones because I want to build a house or something. He says, that's permitted. I know for sure, it's a stick ratio, I know for sure that if I'm going to take off these stones, it's going to cause his field not to have stones. We don't care, because since my primary intent is not to fix his land, I just want the stones for my building purposes, that's permitted. There's other cases that if I need firewood and I want to uproot a tree for firewood, even by uprooting this tree, it will soften up the ground, which is a type of plowing. It would cause trees around it, maybe even the case, according to various Yishayim, even if the trees are planted too close to one another. So by uprooting one tree, it helps the other trees grow. Since my primary intent is not to do a malacha, it's permitted for me to do it. So here we have an interesting situation. On the one hand, we're saying that as long as a malacha happens in my field, even if I don't do it, it's a problem. On the other hand, we're saying that even though I'm doing this act of uprooting a tree, but since my primary intent is not to uproot a tree, it's permitted. Seems to be a contradiction between the two terms. If we go by the act that I am doing, then as long as I'm not doing the act, it should be permitted. But if it is my act, it should be altered. but if we're saying it's nothing to do with my act, it has to do with that, even if I don't do the act, even if it happens by itself, it's altered on Shemitah, because Lamaisa, my land is in a situation of work on Shemitah, and it's altered. So how is it permitted over here just because I don't have the proper, I'm not thinking about working the land. So it seems to be like this, that even if we hold that the Isra and Shemitah is lapped up because I do the act, even if somebody else does the act, but the only time it's utter is if the act is defined as of an act of working the land. It has to be an act of working the land. If a goy works my land, no difference, because he's involved in working the land. He's involved in plowing and planting. But if the act the person's involved in is he wants firewood now, he wants stones to build a house, even though built into this act is a secondary act of fixing up the land, by Shemitah, the Torah only asks you, don't be involved in working your land. As long as you're not involved in working your land, even though it happens by itself, it's permitted. If the guy does it or somebody else does it, it's also, that's because the guy is doing with an intent to work the land. So the bottom line is coming out is like this, that even though we take this more stringent opinion than Shemitah, the Isser on Shemitah can be not only if I do the act, if somebody else does the act for me. But it has to be an act which is an act of somebody wants, anybody wants to work the land. But if nobody wants to work the land, it just happens to be that this act is going to cause the land to produce fruits and grow better, that is permitted on Shemitah. On Shabbos, on the other hand, we look at your personal act. If this act definitely entails within it another act that's going to be a malacha, it's also, even though my primary act is not a malacha. Okay, that is the basic halacha. Let's just summarize what comes out. Halacha lamaita for us, even over here. So number one is, we said that there are many, even if you not accept that very big chiddush of Minchas Chinuch about planting both before Shemitah, which is not negates us anyway, since we're not planting in Eretz Yisrael, unless we move to Eretz Yisrael, which is a nice idea, whoever can do it. But even if I'm over here, according to the tzad that we say, which a lot of Rishonim hold, and the Pesukim are precious for such an opinion, that there's an issur to have malachas being done on my field on Shemitah, so according to that side, anybody, even if he's living over here, if he has a house in Eretz Yisrael that has a garden, he has to make sure that the gardener is not working it on Shemitah. If it's sometimes they have a problem that it may be a multiple ownership of the house, and maybe some of the neighbors, for some reason, they're not religious or whatever, they don't want to give in to you. If you have such a situation, ask a shayla of either a local rav or a rav in Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Number two is, according to what Rav Nissim Karel said, it's a very big chiddush. His chiddush is coming out that not only is it also for me to work my land, not is it also for me to have people work my land, but it's also for me to cause people to work even other people's land, any part of Eretz Yisrael. So according to this, even if I have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, I have no property in Eretz Yisrael, but if I, for some reason, I'm causing other people to do malachas on Shemitah, then I'm also being over this issur of Shav Sa'orit. So, Kamuvan, there are other problems with this. We have to be careful that the next year's food that's coming in from Eretz Yisrael, we have to make sure that it has the proper exchange. If we're involved in purchasing fruit, aside from the various halachic issues, some food is often treated without that. But even if it's permitted to eat it, by the fact that we have a big market for fruit that shouldn't be planted, shouldn't be grown on Shemitah, we're essentially causing other people to work the land on Shemitah. Kamuvan, the flip side of it is that if we can in any way be mechazik those people, the Yibayah Kayah, the people that are really going out of the way and not working out Shemitah. They have this thing, I think, a Karen Shemitah. You could help them financially, support them a little bit, make them Yisrael for them a little bit easier. And about it, that's a big mitzvah. As we said, the mitzvah of Shvius is a very kosher thing. It's important for us, important for not only the people in Eretz Yisrael, it's important for all of Klal Yisrael. Just want to finish that the idea of Shemitah is like the Chinuch says, and all the Rishonim explains, is to show us that we're not in control of the land. A person has a nice piece of land and produces a lot of fruits, you could start thinking, oh, I have a good field, I know how to plant well, I have a big cotton, I'm producing all my crop. We have once every 7 years, Hashem tells us, don't do anything with the land to show you that it's not your land, everything's on lease from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the successes you have with your planting and growing is all because of the Yad HaShemayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you. In other words, the whole idea of Shemitah, which is similar to Shabbos also, is a way of being mechazik al bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Moedek Rashi in Yirmiyo, the famous pasuk, it contrasts two types of people. It says, Or HaGever Asher Yiftach Ba'odam V'som Bosses Royam in Hashem Yotaliba. Cursed is the person who puts all his bitachon only on human strength and he doesn't pay attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, it says, and here's the Navi says, blessed is the person who puts his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi in that pasuk, well, who is this person who's relying on his own strength and not paying attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's saying he's the person that says that I have to plant and I have to plant my field on Shemitah, even though Hashem promised us, don't do it, so don't worry, Hashem said, I'll take care of everything, you'll get more food if you don't take care, if you don't work the land on Shemitah. He doesn't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he relies on his own strength. And that's what the pasuk is going on. Or HaGever Asher Yiftach Ba'odom is going on the person who doesn't keep Shemitah. Kamuvan, that's specific on the person who's not keeping Shemitah. But this chizuk we could take with us wherever we are. We always need a chizuk to be talking to realize that everything we have is directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a beautiful Bach that says that we have a takana of saying Aleinu at the end of our davening. The last thing we say in every davening is Aleinu. It's interesting that Aleinu was put at the end of our tefillah. You know that Aleinu is a very, very chosh of a tefillah, and Yom Neiron, that's the highlight, one of the highlights of the whole Yom Neiron tefillah. We say, we were saying that we realize that there's only one first in the world, only after the Shbohu, and the Spal Havagilulim in the Aret. It's known that in the Middle Ages, when the Jews were Moitzei Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, when they were burnt at the stake, that's the way they used to go to the Mesiras Nefesh. They were singing the Aleinu L'Shaveach, the pride that we're in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and if we go with the way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything will be good for us. That's the way Klal Yisrael lived, and that's the way Klal Yisrael died. Says the Bach that we're in the Beit HaMidrash and we're davening, we feel the Keshet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we finish this, the davening, then we're already going out to the world, the secular world, into our business dealings and everything else. There's room for mistakes and starting thinking, oh, maybe it's my curses, maybe the ideals of the Goyish world has some value. Before we go, we have this feeling that Aleinu L'Shaveach, we feel like those people that were Moitzei Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem, there's nothing in this world other than Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I'm going out of the Beit HaMidrash. This is what I'm taking with me, this Bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, there's one more thing, even more than Aleinu L'Shaveach, which is Baruch Hashem, what we're zeichet to see over here. Like I brought down the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Nun Hei, says, Yelech Mechayel El Chayel, Yoreh Likim B'tzion. It's Allah, that a person should go from the Beit HaMidrash, Beit HaKnesses, which he davens in, to the Beit HaMidrash, where he can learn Torah. This is going from one Chayel, from one strength to the next. It says the person does this, he's Mekal Pnei Hashchina. The way I understand it is Mamash a very clear cut Mida Keneged Mida. When we dive into Hashem in our tefillahs, we show ourselves and we show our Kodesh Baruch Hu that we realize that all our needs are being taken care of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. All our bakashas and shmoneh esrei, we turn to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't turn to our boss and to our friends and to our neighbors. We know that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. And that's a tremendous chizuk we have by speaking to our Kodesh Baruch Hu every day in our tefillahs. That's one chayil, one strength that we have. We have strength that we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person could leave his davening and right away go into his day-to-day involvement and forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he goes from there and realizes that more important than his day-to-day involvement is to retain that keshav and mechazik that keshav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being kaveit in the Torah, which is said in the Shulchan Aruch, the amazing thing, that even if a person feels that he's going to gain a tremendous amount of money, He should give it up for Tzviya Tikkun L'Torah. The way we're saying it's beautiful, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's giving us all our money. If we show Hashem that we realize that He's in charge of everything, we have nothing to fear, we're going to lose money by being Kabeit and L'Torah. Adelaide Baruch HaGever Sheyifzeh B'Hashem Foy Hashem Yitzhak will give us much of a bracha. Show the Zeicha B'met that we're all part of this wonderful new movement over here in here in all the world, the Chizik and Kriyatik and L'Torah, starting our day with Torah, and the standard, the thing about it, having a new project of ending the day with Torah. Yeah, I'm sure everybody who started also ends it also. Our kopana, we should all be zeicha to the bracha. Baruch HaGeva, Sheyifzach, B'Hashem, Baruch HaGeva, Sheyifzach, we'll do our part over here in Chutzlaret, and there's the Shalom Shemitah. Those people will do their part, we'll be chazik one another, and together we'll be zeicha to bring the Mashiach from Hail Yameinu.